Turn to Acts chapter 20. So today I'm going to teach on what the Word says about happy. I remember years ago we were taught, you know, happiness, joy is an inside job, and happiness was dependent upon certain things. And it is. But the Word tells us about happiness. And so there's a couple of different words. In Hebrew, there's a word, and it's asher, A-S-H-E-R-E. And it's translated both happy and blessed. So many places where you see the word blessed, it really means happy in the Old Testament. And then there's a word in the New Testament called makarios, and that also is translated blessed and happy. So we're going to look at some of these things, and God tells us things that will make us happy. I'm not going to go through everything, but you can go find a concordance and look them up, and because there's, you know, 30, 40 different places. But so we're going to look at that. But, you know, in life, you know, you meet people, and there are certain people that they're always happy, right? No matter what's going on, where they are, what, you know, circumstances they're in, they're happy. They're just happy people. And then there are other people, no matter what happens, no matter how great life is, they're always miserable. You know, they're always looking on the negative side, yeah, the dark side. You know, it's just no matter what. Oh, you know, they just won the lottery. Yeah, but I'll probably lose it all. Or, you know, something. You know, it's always a but. So, but I want you to turn to Acts chapter 20. And this is kind of a cool one. I thought I'd start here because it was kind of interesting that I saw this. And verse 35, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the word blessed is happy, or it's happier to give than to receive. And you know, this is a cool verse. Jesus Christ, if you search the Gospels, it's not there. Can't find it written down. It's only written down because Luke received revelation from God that Jesus Christ said this. And you know, the world perverts this, and they'll say, you know, there's a couple of verses that the world takes and they pervert and make it sound cool, like the golden rule, you know. Well, this is one of them where they say, well, it's better to give than to receive. Well, that's not what the word says. It says it's happier to give than to receive. Pretty simple. That's what the word says. Let's go to Romans. Well, let's go to Corinthians, actually, 2 Corinthians 9. Because Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And then when Paul speaks about giving in 2 Corinthians, he says in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The word cheerful is the word that we get the word hilarious from, you know. He loves a hilarious giver. You know, you're just happy and blessed to give. And God likes that. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. So, you know, this is really kind of, not kind of. It is in the realm of renewed mind because you have to do the things the Word says to do to be happy. And you have to choose to be happy. So in Romans 14, verse 22, it says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Now, if you go back and read the context of chapter 14, it has to do with people that are legalistic. You know, they're trying to put the law on, you know. Well, you're eating meat and you didn't wash your hands before dinner, so you're a sinner, or you did this. And so Paul writes, you know, and throughout this, he says, well, you know, whatever a man alloweth in his life, he said, nothing in and of itself is sin or sinful or impure, but it's what you allow. Now, obviously, there are certain things that the word says don't do. Okay? So those things you don't allow because, you know, it says don't steal. It says don't kill. You know, there are a few things you're not supposed to do, right?
Lie.
Lie. Yeah, you're not supposed to lie. So on and so forth. But in the things of the world, you know, well, I want to eat hamburgers, well, or cheeseburgers. Well, okay, I want to eat French fries. Well, if you allow that in your life, you know, if you like to watch baseball games, as long as it's not out of bounds, or, you know, you like to go skiing, or whatever you like to do, if you allow it in your life and it doesn't interfere with your walk with God, you're happy, right? That's what it's talking about here. And it goes on to say in verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of believing. For whatsoever is not of believing is sin. Wow, that's kind of interesting, huh? So that's what he says there. The context is legalism versus freedom. And we don't condemn people for what they allow in their lives, you know, as long as it's in accordance with the Word of God. So what a great thing. Let's go to Psalm 1. And we'll spend some time in the Old Testament because there's a lot of verses in the Old Testament, most of them in Psalms and Proverbs. And actually, they're all in Psalms and Proverbs. And you all know these verses here. We're not going to cover them all. We're just going to cover a couple. But Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And the word blessed is happy. Yeah, happy. So you'll be happy if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And, you know, that would be the counsel of the world for the most part. Anything that's contrary to God's word that people push. What did we look at the other week about the heart? It said, he that follows his heart is foolish. You know, it's counsel of the world, isn't it? That's the counsel of the ungodly, because all over the place, you know, in songs and movies and books and poetry, they talk about following your heart. Be true to your heart. You're only true to your heart if your heart is in the Word. You know, your heart is locked into God's Word. Then you follow your heart. You know, you follow God's Word as it's in alignment and harmony with God. See? So it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, the God rejectors. You know, you hang out with God rejectors, unbelievers. Then it goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is the word of God. You know, that's what makes you happy. If you delight in God's word, it'll help you to be happy. What a cool thing. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. Now we're going to look at a couple of verses concerning one thing that God really says helps you to be happy or makes you happy. He doesn't say helps you. He says happy. Proverbs 16. And verse 20. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Trust in God, trust in the Lord, and you'll be happy. Which, you know, when you're worried, when you're doubting, when you're fearful, you're not usually happy, are you? Usually unhappy if you're doubtful and worried and fearful. But if you trust in God, then you're happy. You know, you have confidence towards God. He's going to take care of you. The word trust in the Old Testament is very closely aligned to the word believe in the New Testament. They're very similar. It means to rely on, to have confidence in, to trust. The actual literal word for trust means to take refuge, lean on, stay upon. Let's go to Psalm 2. And verse 12. And it says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little." Then it says, "Blessed are all they that put their trust in him," in the Lord. And the word blessed is happy. Happy are all they that put their trust in him. You know, when you trust God, you're going to be happy. Let's go to Psalm 34. And verse 8. Now, the other word in the Old Testament, if you look up at verse 1, it talks about, "I will bless the Lord at all times." And that means to glorify God or to praise God. You know, one word or one, you know, family of words in the Old Testament means to praise or glorify, and the other word means happy, okay? So here again, it's happy. In verse 8, it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him." Wow, what a great thing, huh? You want to be happy? Trust God. See, and again, it has to be in the renewed mind, because sometimes we don't trust. We don't believe. So what do we have to do? We have to put the word back into our brain and say, okay, I got to trust him. And sometimes that takes work, doesn't it? But you do it. You just get in the habit of working at it and doing it. Let's go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I'm going to start in verse 4. There's three of them in Psalm 84. We could call this the happy psalm. Woohoo! Okay. "Blessed, happy are they that dwell in thy house." Speaking of God's house. You know, happy are they that dwell in God's house. In the New Testament, we as the body of believers are what? We're the temple of God. You know, so when we dwell in the temple of God, in the body of Christ, when we're part of the body of Christ, you know, we're happy. "They will still be praising thee, Selah." Verse 5, "Blessed, happy is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them." You know, those that believe, those that trust God. And then in verse 12, it says, "O Lord of hosts, happy is the man that trusteth in thee." And that's how it concludes this psalm. Happy is the man that trusteth in thee. What a great thing, huh? See? So, you know, it's not automatic, but we have to do something. And that's what makes us happy. That's how we have happiness in our lives. We trust God. We look to him in every situation. Let's go to Psalm 40. So we dwell in God's house, our strength is in God, and we trust God. That's what it said in that psalm. Psalm 40 and verse 4. It says, "Blessed, happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." So again, blessed or happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. He trusts in him. He doesn't respect the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't listen to the other people. He listens to God. He trusts God. What a great thing. I went through my Bible. I looked this all up in the concordance. And so in the in the margin, wherever the word blessed was happy, I just wrote it in there so I knew the, which what it was talking about. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that, but it blesses me to do it. So when there's fear, which means respect, or for God, awe, A-W-E, awe for God, that also will allow us to be happy. Let's go to Proverbs 28. It makes for happiness. God makes for happiness. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So when you fear God, you have great respect or awe for God. And Psalm 33:8 defines the fear of God. It talks about being in awe of him. So when you're in awe of God, when you respect, when you have that deep reverence for God, you'll be happy. And to harden the heart is an interesting thing. If you go back into Exodus, and God talked about how Pharaoh would harden his heart. And it's very simple, you know, Moses spoke to Pharaoh about Jehovah, about his God. And every time he did, he said, you know, if you let my people go, you know, everything will be good. And God said, well, Pharaoh's going to harden his heart. And to harden the heart simply means to reject God and his word. That's what it means. So the opposite is, you know, if you have fear, great reverence, respect, and awe for God, you're going to be happy. And if not, you harden your heart, and then you're in trouble. Pretty simple. Let's go to Psalm 112. So I trust that everybody here wants to be happy, you know. And sometimes in the world, we think different things will make us happy. Man, if I had a new car, I'd really be happy. And you will until it breaks down or gets old. If I had a house, and you know, or a certain kind of house, my dream house. Yeah, until you have to start doing repairs and redecorating and put a new roof on and, you know, whatever else. I mean, because that's the nature of things, isn't it? The nature of things is they're great when they're new, but then they don't stay new unless you never use them. And that's not necessarily true either, right? Because if... Huh?
They still rust.
Yeah, they still rust. Yeah, if you don't use a car, it'll fall apart on you. So... You know, things, they bring momentary happiness, but these things bring happiness to our lives all the time. Psalm 112:1, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. So again, you know, that delighting in God's word and having that respect for God and trust for God are associated. And it makes for happiness in our lives when we put God there, we trust him, we look to him, and we have great awe and respect for him. What a great thing. Let's go to Psalm 128. Verses 1 and 2. Blessed, happy. This is a very redundant teaching, isn't it? A lot of repeating of happy, but that's what it's all about. Happy. Happy is everyone that feareth the Lord. It says everyone. If you fear God, if you have great respect and reverence and awe for God, you're going to be happy. That walketh in his ways. And again, walking in his ways would be what? You hold fast to his word. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Wow, those are great benefits, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Great benefits. You know, you fear God, and you walk in his ways, and you shall eat the labor of thine hands. you shall be happy, and it'll be well with you. Can't ask for much more. What a great thing. Let's go to... So, respect or awe for God and trusting God bring happiness. Let's go back to Proverbs 3. Now, Proverbs are technically words to live by. It was written for instruction to young people on how to live. So in chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 13, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Oh, that's great. We know that the fear of God, I probably wrote it down here somewhere, Proverbs 9, it says, it's the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding." Holy would be God. So understanding, wisdom and understanding also bring happiness in our lives. Then we go to verse 14. It says, For the merchandise of it, of wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold," meaning, you know, money or valuable things. "She," referring to wisdom, "is more precious than rubies, and all things that canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall thy life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then thou shalt walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." You know, so wisdom is something we want to try to attain. And wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is a fear or a great respect for God. And it helps us to be happy when we do that, when we have the wisdom of God's word in our heart and our life, you know. When we were taught that wisdom is the application of knowledge, you know, we get knowledge of God's word. We get a rightly divided knowledge of God's word, and then we properly apply that knowledge, right? I mean, you can misapply knowledge, right? But you are if you properly apply that knowledge, you have wisdom, and wisdom brings so many things to our lives, one of which is that we are happy. What a cool thing. In Proverbs 14, what was the song? "If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make an ugly woman your wife." Well, I don't think that's what God says. You know, the world talks about a lot of things that make you happy, but God's word, you know, it's not temporary things. It's things that are eternal. It's the eternal things. And if we put those things in our heart, we're going to have happiness. We're going to be positive in our thoughts and in our mind. Psalm 34, verse 30, Proverbs 14, verse 33. "Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. I don't know why I have this verse in here, because it doesn't say anything about being happy. But it's a good verse about wisdom. That's what it was about. It's about wisdom. It's, you know, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. So that's what we want to have. We want to have God's wisdom. We want to trust in God. We want to keep fast to his word. Let's go to Psalm 119. You know, sometimes when you look for something in the Word, or you want to investigate something, you find there's more there than what you ever thought about. So, at least to me, I didn't think about, I knew there were some verses that talked about happiness, but I didn't know how much. And I was pretty surprised. Psalm 119:2, it says, blessed, or verse 1, sorry. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy. Happy, verse 2, are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. Here it's just, you know, when you keep God's word in your heart and you seek him, it's going to bring happiness. Let's go to Psalm 29. This is a verse that's kind of misquoted sometimes. 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And the word vision is Proverbs.
Oh, sorry.
I said Psalms. I am so sorry. Proverbs 29. Yeah, I'm getting confused with Proverbs and Psalm. Okay, Proverbs 29. Verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And the word vision means knowledge. It says, but he that keepeth the law, God's word, happy is he. Happy is he that keeps God's word. What a great thing. And let's go back to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. And verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed, happy are they that keep my ways. Wow, I didn't write down happy in my margin on that one. Verse 34. Well, let's read verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise, refuse it not. Blessed, happy is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. You know, they that are into God's word, that keep his word, they're happy. Let's go to Psalm 106. And verse 3, it says, blessed, or happy are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. So, you know, when you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to be happy. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You do God's will, you'll be happy. So let's go to James. We'll go to the New Testament. We'll look at a couple there. There's not as many in the New Testament, obviously, but... we'll look at a couple. The first one is in James chapter 1 and verse 25. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not forgetful here, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed or happy in his deed. So, you know, you look into the word, you learn the word, and then you do the word, and you're going to be happy in your doing. Makes sense, right? You're going to be happy in your doing. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. You could hold your place in James because we're going to go back there. But Romans chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 3. This is the chapter that talks about Abraham and believing. It says in verse 3, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the believing of God without effect?" That's the wrong chapter.
It is.
Sorry. I looked at chapter 3. Chapter 4. Verse 3. "For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Meaning accounted. It was accounted for him. "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." So the context here is righteousness by believing and the works of the law. And, you know, in the Old Testament, it talks about being able to achieve righteousness, but it wasn't the same righteousness that we have. Righteousness under the law was you kept the law. And if you made a mistake, then you had to atone for that mistake and pay the price, whatever, you know, the law said. If you committed some kind of sin, you could go and do a sacrifice. Or if you caused somebody to property damage of some sort, you could pay them a certain amount of money. And then you became righteous again, you see. But you always had to do something to regain that righteousness. And if you did something wrong, you would lose that righteousness. Whereas the righteousness in the New Testament comes with the new birth, and it's the righteousness of God in us. We've been made totally and completely righteous by the works of Jesus Christ. Okay, so, "But to him," verse 5, "that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Verse 5, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." The word blessedness is happiness. Happiness. You know, and David spoke about this in Psalms. He said, you know, when God doesn't impute your sins to you, then you're happy. You know, he imputes righteousness without works. Without works, because you believe, that brings happiness. You know, think about what God did for you. You didn't have to do anything to earn it. He imputed it to you. He accounted it to you. He gave it to you. And that's happiness. Verse 7, "Blessed or happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Blessed, happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I would say, yeah, I am very happy about that. And God doesn't, you know, have a little accounting ledger in heaven, and every time I make a sin, he marks it down. You know, that was taught for hundreds of years in the church.
It still is.
Yeah, some places it still is. You know, if you sin, it's a mark against you and you have to atone for it sometime, which, you know, really says, well, Jesus Christ was great, but he didn't really do the whole job. And the Bible says he did do the whole job. He completed the task. He paid the full price. So verse 7, "Blessed or happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed, happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness or happiness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith or believing was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or on uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision." In other words, he got it before God said, okay, you need to be circumcised as a sign of the promises I've made you. Okay? And he was accounted righteous because he believed God. Okay, and let's go to James. James chapter 1, And we're going to close there. So if you go home today and you're not happy, well, you just got to think about what the Word says and put those things in your life. You have to apply it and hold on to it. Chapter 1, verse 12 of James, blessed, happy is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Well, that's pretty great. Hey, I'm pretty happy. I'm going to get a crown. You know, there's another place where it says we get a crown of righteousness because we love his appearing. You know, there's lots of ways to get crowns from God. But happiness, we're happy when we do those things. God wants us to be happy. He doesn't want us to be sad. He doesn't want us to be miserable. He doesn't want us to be negative. He wants us to be positive. He wants us to be joyful and rejoice. But he tells us how we can be happy, doesn't he? He tells us. So if we do those things, we'll be happy. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us, for loving us, that happiness is not dependent on the transient, temporary things of the world, but it's dependent upon the eternal things and principles that you put before us, that we hold fast to what you tell us, that we trust you, that we have great respect for you, that we keep your word and do your word. And as we do those things, we are certainly going to be happy as we walk in life according to your word and in accordance with what you would have us to do. We thank you for a great day today, a great afternoon, that we can go out and be blessed and glorify you in everything we do, that we can always be cognizant that we are your children. And we just thank you for loving us and taking care of us for your Son, Jesus Christ, and how he was so willing to pay that full and complete price so that we could be yours and you could be ours. And we thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.